My mic on. Sweet. My Bible's taking a little while to load. It's like, come on now. It's like slow. There it goes. Woo. We're good. You guys doing good? You guys, you know what? I am amazed at you guys. I really am. I feel like we are surrounded by extraordinary, ordinary people. We really are. And you guys may look at yourself and you're like, well, I'm just ordinary. But we have so many extraordinary people in this group. It's amazing. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to dig into this. Father God, we just come before you right now. Lord, you have fought the battle for us. And sometimes we lose sight of that. Sometimes we're in the struggle of our own stuff. And Lord, it gets tiring and we get weary and we get full of anxiety and we wonder what's going on. And we don't know what you're fully doing, but yet we know what you have done. And we praise you for that. We praise you for your faithfulness and your love and your grace and your mercy, your tender love. Father God, we ask that you would help us. Help us to continue to focus our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith. Help us to re-examine our priorities and to be able to come to a place where we are truly and fully surrendered to you. That, Father God, that you would do extraordinary things not only in our lives but around us as you touch the lives of people that we love and that we minister to. Father God, I thank you for this group. They are extraordinary people. And it has been awesome to be a part of it. And so, Father God, right now we just lay it all before you. We ask that your Spirit would speak to us and move us and guide us in the things that you would have for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. So, I don't know if you guys realize this. This is why I think that you're extraordinary people. We have been talking about tactile Christianity, the reality that we want a life, a belief system that not only changes the way we think, but changes the way we act, changes our character, changes our destiny, that we would actually live a life that is so tangible that other people can feel it. And you guys are doing that. So I know, like, this week alone, we had on Saturday, we had a group that was up there in Superior. I went up there and they painted, they stained, they put furniture together, and they blessed a little church that's just getting off the ground, that's doing incredible things up there in Superior. And that was fun. All you guys that showed up and did helped us do that, it was a blast. It was a lot of fun. This morning we had Tom Attard. He just got done doing 50 miles or 50K, 8,000 feet elevation, got done with his race just about the time church started. So he's not here, but his family's here. Which is really cool. But we also got some people that are out in the field this week. And this is what's crazy about this is I wanted to bring this up to you guys because we got Josiah and Bev. We got their pictures, don't we? Yeah, you should have their pictures. Did nothing get downloaded? You got stuff. No, it's not there. Never mind. We've had tech problems. So anyways, we had a great picture of Josiah. So Josiah is, hey, there he is. There's Josiah. Josiah and their pet monkey. Down there in Brazil, be praying for Josiah. He's sick, so he's struggling with that. But the missionaries down there said that he is unbelievable trooper. They're going to give you some testimony on that. But he was able to go up into one of the villages. It took 2-3 days to get up to the village. And anyways, they've been working on this village for about 3 years now. And with Josiah up there, the missionary said that he just rocked it. And they were actually able to really communicate with him. I'm not going to share that whole testimony because we got that later. And then Bev, we definitely have some computer issues today, so never mind. So, and then Bev is down there in Honduras, and so she should be coming back soon. And she's been able to meet with a bunch of gals down there in Honduras and being able to help them learn the curriculum or the way to be able to start to learn Spanish, because in the area that she is at, once a gal actually hits puberty, they don't let her go to school and they don't let her read. It's a really backwards thing. And so she is down there helping out the whole missionary down there and helping the gals learn how to read and getting that stuff going, and also giving them the tools, using her Montessori gifts to be able to help them be able to teach their kids and learn Spanish and also English, and which is really cool. And some of you guys helped her put some of that stuff together to go down there. So she'll be coming back soon, so be praying for Bev. Next Saturday, Sasha and I and Tom will be headed down to the Amazon also to meet up with Josiah. And so, like I say, there's just a lot of things that are going on. And it's crazy because this little church is just full of ordinary people that are doing some extraordinary things. And as we go through this whole thing about tactile Christianity, I almost feel like I'm preaching to the choir because you guys are doing it and you guys are living it out in so many different ways. And so it's just really cool. So I want to jump into the scriptures. Do we got the computer working at all? No, not at all. Yes, it is working. At all. Yeah. Well, no, oh, yes, I do want a video. Let's do the video. Here comes the video. Thank you.
So check in with y'all via a video update rather than doing a text update. We just got back from our trip upriver. We want to thank you guys for praying for us for the last 6 days. It was an incredible trip. It was a long trip, and it was a difficult trip, but we're back, and the Lord was good in getting us home, getting us there and getting us back home safely. I just want to give you a quick update what happened out there. We had the first 2 days on the river, two long days of just traveling the river was difficult. The river's at an all-time low, so we hit a lot of rocks. We hit a lot of stumps. Went on a lot of sandbars that you just can't see in the river here. Had to portage the boat several times. Had motor trouble. You know, it comes with the work that we do, and you're working in a place that doesn't have the gospel. Satan is not wanting any part of that work, and so he wants to stop us and do what he can to stop the work from happening. We got there, and we had 4 days of just of hard, long, difficult conversations with our people there. It was hard. We've been working there for 3 years, and we don't have any salvations, no baptisms. And I just challenged them, kind of a different approach, rather than one-on-one. But how they operate as a village is everything is communal, and so just challenged them out as a community. Is this something we want for the community? Does this community want to follow Christ? And if this is what we're going to do, let's go it. Let's do it all in. Let's go. Because 3 years, we have built relationships. We have good entry. We have been doing evangelism. So it's time to make some decisions. And they met individually as a community for 2 days. And on the last night, we had a long meeting together. And I just flat out challenged them. They agreed. Several of them spoke about how the alcohol is affecting their way of life, the consequences that have come from that up there. In that village, there's we've had two suicides this year. We've had several things happen in darkness, and so they're suffering. They know they are, and they need help, and they need better. And so they kind of agreed that, all right, let's go all in. And so that's going to come at a cost to us and my team. We had to start getting up there more frequently, but that's good. That's what we want to do. And so here we go. And so I want to challenge you. If the gospel was worth it for you to follow Christ, if it's worth it, then it's worth it for them, and it's worth it for us. It's worth it for us to have these challenging days on the river. It's worth it for us to break stuff. It's worth it for us to hit rocks and stumps, and it's worth it. It's worth it to take up 500 gallons of fuel on these trips, and it's just hard work, but it's worth it. It's worth it for the gospel. And so if the gospel was worth it for you, then man, it's worth it for them. And so we have to go all in together. And so I want to thank you for giving that made these trips possible. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for praying for us. But I want you to think about, man, what's next? How can you go all in for these trips? How can you go all in for the gospel? How can you go all in with your church? Because, again, if it's worth it for you, if it's worth it for you personally to follow Christ, and it's worth it for other people to follow Christ. And so the Lord is calling us to go all in. And so we have to go all in. And so whether it's here in the Amazon, these extreme places, or maybe it's your neighbor, it's time to go all in. It's time to give it all you got and go for the gospel, because the gospel is worth it. And so I want to thank you for being part of these journeys with us through prayer. And I want to challenge you with that. Like I'm challenging this Sea Village. It's time to go all in because the gospel is worth it. It is so worth it. And so despite all the challenges that come with it, we know that in this world, we're just passing through. Our home is in heaven. And so, man, as we're passing through this earth, let's give it 110% every single day. Because, again, it was worth it for you to follow Christ. It was worth it for me to follow Christ. So it's worth it for those people to follow Christ. So let's go all in together. So we want to thank you for loving us and supporting us and all that you've done for us and our team. And so we love y'all and ciao.
There you go. That's the end of my sermon. Pretty crazy, huh? That's awesome. Yeah. So that's who Josiah is with. That's who we're going to go down and meet up here in next week. And it's crazy. The tribe that they went to is just 60 folks that are way out in the jungle. It's literally, the tribe is based off of three brothers that are now the grandparents of everybody. So it's a very remote, very rough situation, so they need a lot of prayer, and we're going to give them the prayer, right? Amen. Support them however we can. You guys in? You guys all in? All right. All right, I'm going to read some scripture to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting here in verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I love these verses. These verses, I think, speak to that inner desire of self-discipline, of structure, of being able to accomplish, to be able to press forward for something that is worthwhile, to be able to achieve. When we read these verses, I think sometimes they challenge us on a level that inside we long for that deeper relationship with Christ. We long for that place where it's like, I know I am pushing forward to the prize. And yet sometimes I think we hear these verses and we go, well, I'm not too sure what it is that I'm pushing forward in. I'm not too sure what my race is marked out for me. And this analogy is an awesome one. It's used throughout Scripture that we are running a race. The reality that Christ is the author and perfecter, and that we set our eyes on Him like He's our pacemaker. The reality that we push forward for something that is greater than what we have within ourselves. This idea is awesome. It's kind of interesting because as I was putting the sermon together, and I usually put my sermons together on Monday and meditate on them throughout the week. But yesterday, when me and Sasha sat down and we watched a movie called The Race. And The Race is about Jesse Owens, who right before World War II, he was an African-American man who went over and competed in the games over there in Germany. And he brought back 4 medals. And at that time, there was such oppression, not only in Germany, but here in America, too, over the African Americans. And how they were mistreated, and how things were happening with the Jews, and all the different things were happening politically right before the war broke out. And it was an interesting story because it wasn't focused on the practice. It wasn't focused so much, you know, on, hey, I got to push through and I got to achieve like so many, you know, athletic movies are about. This was actually overcoming the mental battle, if you will, the spiritual battle that was out there of evil that was in our world. Of him being able to do what he felt he was created to do, even though everybody else wanted him to be quiet and be put to the side. Even before he went, there was a group that got together of African Americans that came to him and said, you can't go, you need to boycott this. And if you go, you're just endorsing something that's happening over there in Germany that's not right. And so he had that whole struggle to deal with in the midst of it, and that really caught my attention. The reason why it caught my attention is because if he hadn't gone, nobody would know who he is. If he hadn't gone and actually stood up and ran the race and did his best, and regardless of the way that he was treated, if he hadn't fought the fight, if he hadn't gone and done what he was created to do, he wouldn't have brought home 4 medals. He wouldn't have put to shame the Nazis. He wouldn't have been an individual that we can look at and admire for what he stood for. He would have been somebody that just boycotted it and faded into the distance. See, I think sometimes it's important for us because we wrestle with that. We have this mindset that I want to be a Christian that's all in. I want to be that tactile Christian. I want to be somebody that makes a difference for the kingdom. But I don't want to put up walls. I don't want to scare away people. I don't want to be so radical people can't deal with me. And so we kind of fade in to the wallpaper, if you will. Fade into the crowd. Don't make too much waves. And it's really hard because we don't want to offend. We don't want to put up walls. We don't want to be jerks. And we shouldn't be. But at the same time, just as Brian talked about it, it's like, man, if it's worth it for me and what Christ has done for my life, isn't it worth risking it that somebody else would hear that gospel too? Shouldn't it actually be our aim? Because what does God really care about? Does he care about our education? Does he care about our wealth? Does he care about our, all these different things that we chase after, that we put so much time into? Doesn't he actually say, don't chase after those things? That's what the pagans chase after. Instead, seek first the kingdom, and he knows what you need, and he'll give it to you. When you think about that kind of commitment, that's huge. It's coming to the place of being able to go, okay, am I all in? Am I really going to hold to what he has for me? See, when we read this whole thing about running the race, the reality is as we look at Scripture, and throughout Scripture it says you've already won, that you're more than conquerors, that our destiny is to be like Christ. I love that verse, Romans 8. 29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. I know my destiny. I know where I end up. If I'm a believer in Jesus Christ and what he's done for me, the fact that I was a sinner, the fact that he came and died on the cross, that his death on the cross is actually what pays for my sin, and I've accepted that in faith, it's nothing that I can do, there's nothing that I can achieve, it's not by my works, it's not by my efforts, but it's by his grace, his free gift that he's given me. That when I surrender my life to that and realize that he's paid my price, he's actually died for my sins, that I deserve to die. Well, I was his enemy. He died for me. And now I've been set free. And he says he comes to give me life and life more abundantly, and that he begins to change it. If I would just surrender my will to him, to know his will and to walk in his place, that he would empower me to walk in the power of his Spirit, that I'm not left alone, that I have been redeemed, that I am a child of God, that now I can enter into the throne room with boldness because Jesus has died for me. I am his. When he looks at me, he sees me as somebody different and new. And if I can hold on to that, in reality, know that deep inside my heart and walk there. Because that's the truth. And the truth sets us free. When we hold on to these things around us and we're worried about fears and we're worried about other people's opinions and we're worried about all this stuff, and guys, I do it too. I do it constantly. Praise the Lord, He has patience. Praise the Lord, He does not give up on us. Praise the Lord that my destiny is to become like Christ. That's why I hold on to that verse. Because regardless of how bad I mess up and how much I worry or I chase after other things, I come to a place where it's like, oh, Lord, forgive me. And He reminds me, your destiny is to be like my Son. I know you and I have you. It's okay. When we read these verses about running the race, the last thing I want you to do is to have a guilt feeling. I don't want you to be in a place where it's like, oh, I'm not doing enough. We don't need that. Because all that does is bring shame on our life. And when we get shame in our life, what happens is we shut down, we hide. Shame separates us from people. You think about it. Any kind of sin that you've let into your life, you get shame about it, and you don't want to talk about it. You don't want to be around people that know it because it brings separation. That is not what God wants us to do. That's not what I want you guys to do when you hear those verses about running the race or being all in. But I do want you to stop and think about, where am I at in this? Because God loves me, and that have I really let that love seep in a way that it changes how I think and how I process? That I would be willing to go, enough's enough. I want to live the way the Scripture tells me to live. Yeah, the Scripture so many times talks about stand firm. Stand firm. And it repeats it over and over again. Stand firm. Stand firm. It's like He knows we're going to slide. We're going to slip. We're going to fall. But we get back up and we stand firm to work out our salvation. Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Paul writes this. Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This is not a, hey, I got saved, and now that I got saved by grace, I have to work on this to keep it. That's not it at all. What it's talking about with fear and trembling to work out your salvation, it's like, I've been saved, and God says, you are righteous and you are holy. Now, work that out. Make that a reality in your life. Be able to go fear and trembling. The reality of like, this is so important to me that I no longer look like the world, that actually I would live in a way that is honoring to God, that I would live in a way that I would sacrifice my life, that it would be a holy offering to Him, that the way I live my life would truly be the act of worship. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Isn't that what it is? To live our life in a way that would truly glorify Him? To work out my salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in me. This is awesome. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. See, when you surrender like this, this is what God does. The Spirit comes into your life and He goes, I want you to talk to your neighbor. Comes into your life and says, I've given you an ability. I mean, however you need to use that. And every one of us has different gifts and different abilities. Different things that motivate us and tear us up inside spiritually. Finding that area where God is beginning to work in your heart and says, you have an ability here to do something. And when we begin to step into those things, it is so cool. Because you find that sweet spot of being in the middle of God's will, that He's created you uniquely and differently in order to fulfill what He wants to fulfill in you so that you can bring glory to Him. that others would see you and see your hope and see the way that you act and the way that you look at things and realize that you have a different worldview. It's a worldview that's centered not on how do I fulfill my desires, but it's a worldview that I am been created with a purpose. And I am living out my purpose because when I stand in the midst of that, that is where my value is at. That I don't give myself value. I am not the master of my destiny. That Jesus is the master of my destiny. And God says, I will be like him. To be able to come to that place, to truly standing firm, to work out my salvation. We are to abide in Christ. When we abide in Christ, as Jesus said, that we would produce much fruit. And it's to my Father's glory that we would produce much fruit. When we talk about tactile Christianity, isn't that not what we're talking about? Producing much fruit? I mean, it's awesome. You look at trees. My daughter has a tree at her house, and we had a bunch of people come over and pick apples, and whoo, those apples are so good. I don't know about you guys, but we've been having a ton of apple, you know, crumble crispy stuff, and Sasha puts enough sugar in it. It's just addicting. It is so good. We had a young man that came over and picked apples. He had some of that stuff, and then he contacted Nomi and said, hey, I want the recipe for that. I need to put more fruit into my life. And it's like, that's not fruit. That's just all sugar. But they're so awesome. I have another apple tree outside my house. And it's huge and it's tall. And it produces apples about that big. And you can't do anything with them. Except for have a bear come in and destroy your tree and tear up things. And the neighbor dog comes over and rolls in the bear stuff. It's not a good scene. Do you want to be a small apple tree or do you want to be like, oh, these apples are awesome? It's to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Scripture says, be holy for I am holy. He puts it out there. This is the crazy thing. We read those verses in 1 Corinthians in chapter 9 that talk about running the race, to beat my body, to be able to realize that I am doing this thing, and I am doing it with the intentionality to win. What's really cool is I've already won. What's really cool is it's already happening. But I am going to live my life in a way that it's like I'm going to do this all out for you, Jesus. I'm going to do this with intentionality and with purpose that whatever it is, I'm chasing after you. So to have that intentionality in the midst of it. But what's really cool is when those verses show up, they start there in verse 24. This might be a surprise to you guys. But verse 19 actually happens before verse 24. It's amazing how they did that. Let's look at verse 19. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Now think about that verse before we go on. Though I am free, I can do what I need to do. I am saved. God has rescued me. My Christian life can be as hard or as complicated, to be honest, as I want to make it. I am free. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone. I've given up my rights. I've given up my time. Given my energy, my resources. If it's worth it to you, isn't it worth it to them? To win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law. So as to win those under the law. To those not having law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, the law of love. So as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I've become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some. Man, I tell you what, becoming all things to all people, is psychologically bad advice. It's that reality we look at it and say, man, I got to, you know, try to please everybody, try to be in the midst of it, and there's going to be times you can't please everybody. You become this individual that is kind of this chameleon that goes in and out. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is building bridges, finding common ground, being able to relate. See, I feel like we are in a place where our culture is changing dramatically from generation to generation. And I feel like the Northwest, to be honest, is farther advanced in this change than a lot of the South of the U.S. is, and even the East Coast. Because I feel like in the Northwest, what has happened is we are the pioneering states. We are some of the last ones to be out here. And when we were settled and so forth, we had this attitude, and our ancestors had this mindset that you go and you make it yourself. We're individuals, and we're rugged individuals. We want to do, and we want to accomplish, and we want to prove that we can. And so the change that's happened in culture, I think, has saturated us faster than it has other people, because the old way of thinking about who we are and our identity was, what does my community say about me and who am I? If my father did such and such job, that's probably what I'm going to do. And if it's a job of honor, then to be honest, my community will honor me. And so that's my value. But the culture's changing. Culture's changing to a place of I am the master of my destiny. And the greatest fulfillment is to fulfill my desires and the things that I put out as priorities, not what other people say about me. That I'm not going to let other people hold me down. If I've been designed in a certain way and I have desires in a certain way, those are the things that I need to chase after. And I will be an individual. And to be honest, we celebrate individuals. We celebrate those that are able to break off the chains of what other people think about them and become something different. And we idolize those individuals. But the problem about chasing our own desires is this, is we come to a place where we begin to realize that, one, if we're not accomplishing it, then we're the problem and we're the losers, because I'm the master of my destiny and this is where I'm ending up. And it's a very lonely, depressed place. It comes to a place where it's like, if I'm chasing after my desires, then I'm going to surround myself by those that encourage my desires and don't hold me down. And so we have this rule of tolerance that's happening. Problem about the rule of tolerance is we begin to realize that nobody actually speaks the truth. We don't speak the truth to them about how we actually feel, and they don't speak the truth to me about how they actually feel about me, because we're being tolerant. And so being tolerant and not speaking the truth, you begin to realize you don't really have friends. And you're playing your own masquerade. See, in the midst of this culture that is changing, as we begin to trace after these kind of things, the reality is not for us to be this rugged individual. The reality is for us to change our view, to realize I've been created in a certain way. And what my Father, what my God, the one who has created me, when I step into what He has for me, that's actually where I find purpose. And what He says about me, that's actually where I have value. And when we can step into that, we can live beyond all the little ins and outs and what people think and what they say and our impressions of folks that so easily entangles us and holds us down, the impression and views of other people. To actually find true freedom and true individualism is actually not to live in the midst of this culture, but actually surrender to Christ. To be able to turn around and realize that He has something greater and better for us. I love this last part. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. And then he talks about running the race. To share the gospel is the whole reality of going, man, this is worth surrendering my life to. This is what I need to be dedicated to. This is what I need to champion in my life. See, the cool thing about this is you guys are extraordinary people. Because I know a lot of you, this is where you're coming to. And I don't know if you realize, as we've gone through this, some of you are smart enough to realize this, but most of us went to public school, so you know, I'm pretty sure that we might have missed some of this. The reality is that was a joke. Some of you guys are shaking your head at me. It's just a joke. The reality of this, when you think about these words, is we've gone through this whole thing about tactile Christianity. I don't know if you notice this, but the reality of it is it's our core values. We started off with the reality that it starts by being surrendered to the Spirit. But from the surrender to the Spirit, we talked about a life of love. And a life of love is community. You can't have community unless there's love. And you can't have love unless you're in community. You cannot express love as an individual without being connected to people. How many of you have experienced love from somebody you've never met or has never contacted you or has never done anything for you? We don't. We experience love by connection, by being around folks. And so there's the reality of this whole life of love and being the center of what God calls us to is the reality of living in community and being able to keep unity and being able to love one another and help one another. We talked about spiritual growth and being able to come to a place of realizing that needs to be a priority. If we're going to actually live a life that honors God, that spiritual growth has to happen in us, a spiritual maturity. And that's just not just knowledge about God, but that's change of my character, that's faith and walking in the step of faith, that's my relationships and how I treat different people, and that's actually finding that place of what it is that God has called me to. Being able to step into several different areas that actually bring a fullness of who we are in Christ. We talked about serving other people. The reality that God has prepared good works for you to do in advance. He's got a plan for your life. All the way through Scripture, it talks about, man, there is something that God wants you to do because we were created to bring Him glory. And that Jesus says, let your good works shine so that others will glorify God in heaven. Today we're talking about impact. Impact, there is no greater impact than when we share the gospel. When we tell other people about Jesus Christ, when we go out into the world, when we go all the way around to Brazil, Honduras, or Germany this next summer, or we just go up the street up here to Superior and help out a church that's getting started, to simply go into the campus and the college to our neighbors around us and letting them know, hey, I'm here because Jesus loves me and He loves you too. Being able to share the reality of the gospel with other people, that's impact. Being able to truly let God work through us and move in this way. When we start doing that, guys, God will glorify Himself. And you guys, in the last couple years, as we are a new church and we're just getting started, He has been doing that in this congregation. The last couple years, I've seen some of you guys go from where you come in and being hurt and lonely and frustrated and church hurt or whatever in the past, and coming to a place of finding community, coming into a place where you're doing discipleship and get involved in small groups, and you're starting to grow and you're starting to step out and find your purpose, and you start working in the joys of what God has created you to. And now you guys are doing the impact, you guys are sharing the gospel, and you're stepping out in incredible ways. You guys have been doing this process. And it is an awesome thing. That's why I stand here and say, I feel like I am surrounded by extraordinary, ordinary people. Because that's what you are. God has been doing this in incredible ways. And I am excited for what He has for us in the future. Usually there's a challenge at the end of this message. I think Brian brought the challenge at the very beginning. If he's worth it to you, isn't he worth it to them? Father God, we just come before you right now. Lord, we praise you for all that you have done. Father God, you are the one who orchestrates our life. You are the one who works in the midst of it. And I just ask that you would help us just to truly, fully surrender. That, Lord, in the midst of it, we'd find your joy and your peace, that we would produce fruit, that we'd bring you glory, that we would see lives change, that people would be drawn to you, that we would live in a different way. Lord, I thank you for those that go and serve once a month all around our community in different fashions and different ways. I thank you for those that go and pray in our neighborhoods. I thank you for those that go down the campus and try to connect and to share the gospel and build relationships with the students that are there. Father God, I thank you for those that are willing to spend up their vacation time and their finances to be able to go overseas, to be able to encourage missionaries and see what you're doing there, to be able to come back and to encourage us. Father, there are extraordinary women and men in this group, and I praise you for that. Father God, I'm excited for what you have for us in the future because I know that you want to glorify yourself. And so I'm excited about what you're doing, and I'm excited about what's coming. And I praise you. I praise you that our destiny is to finally end like your son. And so we surrender it all to you. In Jesus' name, amen.